Hello, it's December 10th, 2007, and I'm Eric Hufschmid. For the past several years, a lot of people in the media and the government have been trying to convince us that Iran is another Nazi Germany, and they'll soon have nuclear weapons, and then they'll attack America or Israel. So why did a mysterious agency within the American government undo all that work by releasing a report a few days ago that claims Iran stopped the development of nuclear weapons in 2003. There's a lot of possible reasons for this report. One is that the report was created by some Americans who are standing up to Israel and trying to prevent a war with Iran. However, it's also possible that this report is just another Zionist trick to hurt the Bush administration and help get Democrats elected. The report is not very honest or useful. It doesn't explain that the propaganda to attack Iran is coming from the Zionists, and it doesn't explain the Zionist role in 9/11, or the Iraq War, the World Wars, or the Holocaust. It also doesn't explain why we allow Israel to have nuclear weapons. The only thing this report does is to make the Bush administration appear incompetent. Furthermore, consider the possibility that Iran is indeed developing nuclear weapons. If Iran announces in the future that they have finally created a nuclear bomb, then the Israeli government will be able to proudly announce, "See, we told you so." The Zionists would then be able to complain that America's intelligence agencies are incompetent, and that would allow them to justify replacing the leadership in the intelligence agencies. The Zionists could end up with even more control over our nation than they have right now if we don't watch out for these type of tricks. Furthermore, consider what I mentioned in my other audio files, namely that within the Zionist network there are factions secretly fighting for control of the group and preparing for the day when they have to sacrifice some of their members in order to save themselves. We should consider the possibility that some Zionists have realized that Israel is hopeless, and they've decided to sacrifice Israel in order to allow the rest of the Zionist network to remain in control of America, Europe, Australia, and whatever other nations they have. I don't know why that report was written, but the point I'm trying to make is that the Zionists have outsmarted the Goyim over and over and over during the past few centuries, and let's not let them do it to us again. The only way we're going to protect ourselves is to be suspicious of every event and every person. We've got to get into the habit of asking, who benefits from this? And is there a connection to Zionism? Think of yourself as walking through a minefield. You must constantly be on the lookout for their tricks. We have to be suspicious of every event, including that recent shooting at the shopping mall in Omaha, Nebraska. Instead of assuming that the news reports are honest, we should wonder if this is another Zionist operation. The police released some of the 9/11 phone calls, and I think those phone calls show some suspicious aspects to the shooting. One of the phone calls came from Jody Longmire, an employee inside the shopping mall. She saw Robert Hawkins walk out of the elevator with a gun. She called 911 and stayed on the phone for more than 20 minutes. ABC News selected her as Person of the Week for her bravery and her heroism. I'll put a link to her phone call and several of the others so that you can listen to them. If you follow my advice about imagining yourself walking through a minefield, then you'll be suspicious of every person connected to that Omaha shooting, and you'll ask such questions as, is Jody Longmire a real witness, or is she a Zionist agent? If that shooting was a Zionist operation, then the Zionists would have arranged for one or more of their agents to be part of the shooting. Their agents would be analogous to explosives that are hidden in a minefield. We should get into the habit of looking for those hidden Zionist agents. We should get into the habit of asking, are any of these witnesses Zionist agents? Keep in mind that the Zionists have a history of pretending to be witnesses, investigators, policemen, Christians, atheists, and Muslims. The news reporters will inadvertently help us narrow down the possible agents because they prefer to give their agents the most publicity. but don't let them intimidate you. When we question the honesty of Jody Longmire, the Zionists will try to intimidate us with such remarks as, "How dare you bring suspicion on an innocent woman?" Respond to those accusations by pointing out that there were phony witnesses at the Pentagon and at the World Trade Center, and you simply want to ensure that the witnesses to this shooting are honest. What would you think if somebody offered to sell you a bar of gold or a house, and when you asked to look at it closely, you were reprimanded with a remark such as, "How dare you not trust me?" We routinely inspect products before we purchase them, but people are afraid to investigate witnesses, investigators, and government officials. However, there's nothing wrong with investigating people. In fact, we're fools to give blind trust to anybody. So don't be intimidated. The reason I suggest we look at Jody Longmire is because her phone call was different from the other 911 phone calls. Her call reminds me of the weird calls from Flight 93 during the September 11th attack. For example, at about 16 minutes into the phone call, she says that Robert Hawkins wanted the vault opened. Listen to this.
When he came in, he just went over to customer service and told him to open the vault.
He told her to open the vault when he went over to customer service?
Yeah, open the vault.
So this is possibly some type of robbery, then that went bad.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
We're told that Hawkins wrote a suicide note and that he went to the shopping mall to shoot people and then kill himself. So why would he want the vault opened? Another strange aspect of this killing is that Longmire works on the third floor of the shopping mall. Why would Hawkins risk taking an elevator to the third floor while trying to conceal a rifle? If all he wanted to do was kill people at random and then kill himself, why didn't he pick one of the lower levels? I've been to different shopping malls in different cities, and years ago I noticed that most people are on the lower levels. If Hawkins was truly interested in killing people at random, he would have selected the ground floor. What is on that third level? Was it the vault that he wanted to open? Was he tricked into thinking that he was taking part in a robbery or helping to test the security procedures? Furthermore, you don't have to go to a shopping mall to kill people. And you don't even need a gun. In some cities, you can kill dozens of people just by driving your car on the sidewalk. Getting back to Jody Longmire, she went into the office where she would be more protected and where she could see the area on a security camera. At about 17 minutes into her 911 phone call, she notices that Hawkins is laying on the ground and an officer is standing nearby, and she wonders if Hawkins killed himself. Listen to this.
Oh my gosh. Wait a minute. It looks like the gun is laying by over by customer service. There's an officer there now. I wonder if he...
Customer service on the third level?
Correct. It looks like he might have killed himself.
Okay. Do you see him laying by a gun?
I see him laying by a gun. Why did I be so wrong?
Okay, so you see a guy on camera laying by the gun on the floor. Is that correct?
Correct. And there's an officer there, too, right next to him.
Does it look like that's the guy on the camera? Is that the guy that was doing the shooting? Can you tell by the clothes or anything?
It could have been. It's about the age. I'd have to see his face to be able to tell because of his mustache. It looks like he had a mustache.
Okay, all right, hold on just a second, okay? Hold on just a second for me.
Longmire didn't cry for any of the other dead people. So why was she so upset when Hawkins killed himself? Furthermore, since she didn't see Hawkins kill himself, why would she jump to that conclusion when an officer is standing nearby? Most people would assume the officer killed him. Zionists may not stage all of these events, but they use all of these events to create fear and justify new laws and government agencies. People like Alex Jones encourage us to buy guns and live in fear of psychotic people and the globalists. Speaking of Jones, he interviewed ex-CIA agent Robert Baer on December 6, 2007. Once you realize that Zionists are responsible for 9/11 and other crimes, this interview seems ridiculous. Here is an excerpt in which they are talking about the report that Iran is not developing nuclear weapons. Robert Baer says that Iran has beaten us. Jones promotes the possibility that Iran might stage a terrorist attack.
What would happen if there was a precipitous event in the next few months, a terror attack, or one of our interests was hit? I mean, do you think Iran would do something like that and bring the wrath of the U.S. in, or do you think somebody else would do something?
I think they've already won. I'm writing a book on Iran, and I think they've won. I mean, I just think we're going to be facing a new Tehran, and we better not hope they're as malicious as they claim to be.
But I mean, you say Iran has won, Pax Americana, Anglo-American, you know, U.S., Israel, England has lost. Couldn't somebody in the neocon camp stage a provocateur or allow something to happen to get us back in the game?
Yeah, I mean, the only way you're going to get back in the game is if we reimpose the draft. We put 1 million soldiers in Iraq, in the Gulf. That's the only way we get back in the game.
But if there was another terror attack, couldn't that be the...
That's the only way you're going to do it. Otherwise, Americans, what do you mean we're spending $1 trillion a year in Iraq?
Well, let's be clear. You're saying without another terror attack, the agenda to invade or attack Iran is dead.
Absolutely.
So who would launch that terror attack?
Well, use your imagination. Whose interest is it in? It's in Saudi Arabia's interest, for instance.
Because they're enemies with Iran.
Yeah, so who's going to protect them against Iran unless there's an attack in this country?
Ooh, I never thought of that. Started a war against Islamofascism to aim them at Iran.
Yeah, that's what exactly the Gulf countries want us to do, is go to war with Iran.
Amazing.
Robert Baer gets extremely favorable publicity on national television and magazines, so he must be a very high-level Zionist agent. Why would he promote the idea that Saudi Arabia will stage a false flag event in order to trick us into attacking Iran? Perhaps because Israel wants to stage another false flag event and blame it on Iran, but they worry that many of us won't believe that Iran is responsible. People such as Robert Baer can then appear on television and announce, "Yes, you are correct. Iran did not attack us. It was Saudi Arabia." You may wonder how anybody could be stupid enough to believe Robert Baer. I wonder how anybody could be stupid enough to believe George Bush, Hillary Clinton, and Nobel Prize winner Al Gore. Most people just don't think very well, even if they did get good grades in school and have several college diplomas. Years ago, Alex Jones wouldn't even acknowledge that Israel was involved in 9/11 or other crimes. Today, Jones and the other truth seekers are under pressure to admit that Israel was involved. So their trick today is to imply that Israel is a subservient member of a coalition between America and Britain. I'll post some excerpts from Jones and from other radio shows so that you can listen to some of this newest propaganda. It seems like their latest tactic is to create the impression that Israel and the Zionists are subservient to Freemasons or the Bush family or the Rockefeller family or some other group. I think the best way to respond to this theory is to tell people that it doesn't matter who's at the top of the crime network and who is middle management. Tell people that all of them are criminals and all of them must be eliminated. Tell people that you don't care if the Masons are at the top of the hierarchy or if the Israeli officials are at the top. All of them must be eliminated. Tell people that you're not going to settle for anything less than a total destruction of the entire crime network, and you don't care what Israel's position is in this hierarchy. When they tell you that the Zionists are a branch of the CIA or a branch of the Freemasons, tell them you don't care who is a branch of the crime network and who is a root and who is a leaf. Tell them you want this entire tree chopped down into sawdust. Their propaganda that Israel is subservient to the Masons or the CIA is a pathetic and desperate attempt to protect themselves. They're being exposed and they're losing. We are winning. The signs that the Zionists are losing is everywhere. Another example is an interview conducted on December 5, 2007 by Dave Von Kleist and Joyce Riley. They interviewed Jim Mars, and discussed such idiotic issues as remote viewing and channeling. I'll post an excerpt of it so that you can hear it for yourself. These three people have been trying to convince us that they're intelligent investigators, so why would they discuss issues that make them look like con artists? I think it's because the people who can think properly are abandoning Dave Von Kleist, Alex Jones, Webster Tarpley, and the other truth seekers, and Von Kleist and the others are responding by making their shows increasingly stupid to fit their stupid audience. I'll post an excerpt of Webster Tarpley talking to Jeff Rentz in which he promotes the propaganda that Germany's Chancellor Merkel is a puppet of George Bush, Tony Blair, and Gordon Brown. And I'll post an excerpt of Alex Jones talking with Pat Buchanan in which Buchanan blames our problems on corporations. As I pointed out in an article a while ago, Pat Buchanan is another person who is actually protecting Zionism. I'll also post an excerpt in which Paul Craig Roberts explains to Tom Hartman of the Air America Radio Network about how we must impeach Bush and Cheney. This is another of their tricks. Even if we could impeach Bush and Cheney, that would give us President Pelosi, and that's not a solution. There's only one solution to our problems, and that is to completely destroy the entire Zionist crime network and Israel. And that includes all of the billionaire families, such as the Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, Rockefellers, and Bronfmans. The police have to stop acting like frightened children and start arresting these criminals. Or our military has to start going after the criminals. Or maybe groups of citizens are going to have to do something. We can't just complain about these criminals. Unfortunately, it looks like we still have to spend our time spreading information because we don't seem to have enough support for groups of citizens to form. But at the rate information is spreading today, we may be able to start doing something soon, or we may be able to put pressure on the police to do their job. Have you ever asked yourself, what are the police afraid of? Are they afraid that Larry Silverstein or Sam Newhouse or Naomi Wolf will pull out some gigantic guns and shoot at them? Our police and military are embarrassing. They could easily deal with this situation. What is their problem? Let's assume that we can convince the police or the military or groups of citizens to start arresting the criminals. This brings us to the next hurdle, namely, who should be arrested? Most of the high-level criminals seem to be Jewish, but which Jews are innocent and which are guilty? In one of my other audio files, I pointed out that Daryl Smith frequently claims that most Jews are innocent. But on December 5th, he reversed himself. Listen to this.
And, you know, if there's only 10,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 of the Jewish community not involved, which is way bigger than that, we've got to protect the innocent in this fight. Because we are not going to be the monsters that we're fighting. We can't be that way.
Now, Smith admits that maybe only a small percentage of the Jewish community are innocent. He also repeats something that he said before, and which Alex Jones and other people also talk about. Specifically, Smith says that we must protect the innocent Jews. Before I discuss this issue, imagine that you live in a wooden house and that your roof is on fire. Imagine that you have several minutes to take items out of your house. Have you ever considered which items in your house you would save? What would you think of a person who saved the most worthless items in his house, such as a bag of garbage in his kitchen, or some old clothing that he no longer wanted? Or imagine that you were on the Titanic, and that you were in control of who gets saved and who dies. Who would you select to be saved? Would you judge people according to their age, or how much money they have, or their education, their religion, or whether they have a useful skill? How would you make a decision? Or imagine that a volcano erupts in the middle of the ocean and forms a new island similar to Hawaii. Imagine that you claim the island and it becomes your very own nation. Who would you allow into your nation? Would you allow wealthy Hollywood stars to become citizens? Or would you prefer ordinary working-class people? Or would you want your nation to be for poor people or criminals or people with alcohol problems? Or imagine that you want to start a business. Who would you look for as employees? Would you look for people who have already proven themselves to do a good job, or would you prefer to take the people who have trouble finding jobs? The attitude in America and Europe is to feel sorry for the loser. Americans often refer to this as protecting the underdog. Unfortunately, we don't help a person when we feel sorry for them. The only way to help people is to provide them with information to help themselves. If they don't respond to the information, it's too bad for them. Daryl Smith, Alex Jones, and many other people in this so-called truth movement encourage us to protect the innocent and defend the helpless. My attitude is, I'm not responsible for protecting anybody. If I want to help somebody, it's my decision, and the only people I'm interested in protecting are the people I consider to be valuable members of the human race. If my house was on fire, I would not save the bag of garbage. If I was going to start my own nation, I would want people who are going to take care of themselves and contribute to society. The only people I'm interested in protecting are the people who will make a better world. I'm not interested in protecting the wealthy parasites who want slaves and servants to pamper them while they play like obnoxious children, and I'm not interested in helping the people who are too defective to take care of themselves. I'm not interested in protecting the criminals, or the retards, or the weirdos. Daryl Smith wants us to protect the innocent Jews, but why should we? Why don't those Jews do something to protect us? And why don't those Jews do something to help us get rid of Zionism? And why doesn't Smith ask us to protect the innocent Chinese, or the innocent Puerto Ricans, or the innocent Irish? Why are we supposed to protect Jews? I didn't see any Jews do anything to protect Christopher Bolin and his family. It seems that the Jews were the people who tricked Bolin and kidnapped them. Our goal should not be to protect the innocent. We should be trying to protect the valuable members of society. It doesn't matter if somebody's innocent. Innocent people don't help us. Innocent people don't help the world. Almost all of these so-called truth seekers are trying to trick us into allowing the Zionist crime network to continue operations. Smith is trying to trick us into believing that it's our duty to protect innocent Jews. But let's assume we decide to protect the innocent Jews. This requires we decide which Jews are innocent. Who is going to make that decision? This would explain one of the reasons why Smith wanted to be my friend. He wants to become a respected member in this so-called truth movement so that he can be in a position to save himself and his Jewish friends. This also explains why Alex Jones and the others are trying so desperately to be considered investigators. They also want to be in the position of influencing who is considered innocent. 1,000 years ago, the foolish Christians were tricked into believing that it's their duty to drive Muslims out of Palestine. And during the 20th century, the foolish Goyim were tricked many times into wars. Now Smith is trying to trick us into believing that it's our duty to protect the innocent Jews from the people who are becoming furious about what the Jews have been doing to us all these centuries. But it makes more sense to say that the Jews owe us something, and they better start doing something now. Are they going to wait until we defeat Zionism on our own and then come forward to help us? The Zionist crime network is very large, and some of its members are the most disgusting creatures the human race has ever produced. It's extremely risky for us to assume a Jew is innocent. We should avoid every Jew and investigate all of them. Don't forget about Christopher Bolin and his family. A few of the people he trusted were Jews, and look at where he is today. Actually, where is he? He won't even tell us what continent he's living on. And where is Carol Valentine? Jim Condit Jr. claims to speak with Carol Valentine by phone, but she won't talk to anybody else. And where is Peter Khawaja? In August of 2007, I posted a document in which I wondered if Ahmed Rami, who has that website radioislam.org, is still alive. About a month later, a man in Sweden named Christer, who became Daryl Smith's webmaster after I stopped working with Smith, told me that he recently spoke with Ahmed Rami, or actually met him in person, I can't remember exactly, and Christer reassured me that I didn't have to worry about him being dead or kidnapped. However, why should I believe somebody who is willing to work with Smith now that I exposed what Smith really is? isn't it peculiar that the people who reassure us that Carol Valentine and Ahmed Rami are doing fine are the people who associate with Zionist agents? Months ago, Jimmy Walter sent out an email message to people that he was quitting the 9/11 movement and he was not going to answer email any longer. He was going into some type of seclusion. Yesterday, I got a suspicious email message from him. I'll post it so that you can read it. He sent me a link to a video of Stephen Greer and his Disclosure Project, and he told me that Apollo astronauts saw UFOs on their trip to the moon, and they saw structures on the moon. This may not seem strange to you, but this is not the way Jimmy Walter used to talk to me. But I have gotten many similar messages from anonymous people, and similar messages are often posted on internet message boards. This is typical Zionist propaganda. So why is it coming from Jimmy Walter's email address? Where is Jimmy Walter? Until Christopher Bolin and his family disappeared mysteriously, a lot of people had a difficult time believing that the Zionists would do something such as kidnap somebody and pretend that they're still free, or kill them and have an imposter take their place. Have you ever heard about the sex slave trade? There's a very large market for children who are purchased and kept in a house for sex. People are doing this right now with children, so what's so difficult to believe that somebody would keep the entire Bolin family as prisoners in their basement? If you can accept the possibility that Zionists are indeed willing to do these bizarre things, take a look at the manner in which the Zionists and the media are attacking Heather Mills, who is getting a divorce from Paul McCartney. The attacks are bitter and emotional, not serious or intelligent. I'll provide a couple links to the snide remarks by Barbara Walters, Whoopi Goldberg, and Shira Lazar. Heather Mills makes some interesting remarks about how she offered to leave Paul McCartney for absolutely no money if Paul McCartney would admit that he's responsible for the divorce. She also made some even stranger remarks in a video interview. For example, listen to this one.
Something so awful happened. Someone I'd loved for a long time, I found out, had betrayed me immensely. And I don't mean infidelity or anything like that. Like, beyond belief.
The man who interviewed her asked if she was talking about Paul McCartney, and she said yes. And she also said this.
People don't want to know what the truth is because they could never, ever handle it. They would be too devastated.
Her strange remarks and the nasty insults by the Zionists in the media would make sense if the accusations are true that Paul McCartney was killed in 1966, and the current Paul McCartney is the sucker who agreed to become his replacement. This conspiracy theory is so bizarre that people have been dismissing it for decades. Those of you who can sense that something is wrong with the Bolin family should take a more serious look at the official story that claims Paul McCartney was involved in a trivial car accident in 1966, in which nobody was hurt. After that car accident, the Beatles went into hiding, just like Carol Valentine, Christopher Bolin, Peter Kawaja, and who knows how many other people. After that car accident, the Beatles announced that they were never going on tour again. They remained in the studio, similar to how the Bolin family announced that they will no longer go out in public. The music of the Beatles changed so dramatically after the car accident that for decades people have been referring to their music as the early Beatles and the later Beatles. It's difficult to believe that Paul McCartney was killed and replaced, but there have been a lot of mysterious deaths in the entertainment business. In fact, a man who listens to my file sent me an article that he wrote about the strange death of Jim Morrison of the Doors. I'll include a link to his article. Keep in mind that most of the websites that talk about the death of Paul McCartney are coming from Zionist Jews, just like most of the sites about 9/11 and the Holocaust. They either try to make the conspiracy look ridiculous, or they put the blame on the Goyim. The strange behavior of the Beatles, Heather Mills, and the Bolin family is more evidence that the ADL is correct when they accuse David Icke of using code words in order to disguise his criticism of Jews. David Icke claims that a species of intelligent reptiles are taking human shape and then getting into our government and other organizations in order to take control of our world. This theory is so stupid that people assume David Icke is insane. But consider the possibility that the ADL is correct, that Ike is actually referring to Jews, but is afraid to use the word Jew. When Ike says that reptiles can change into human shapes, he may be referring to the manner in which Jews pretend to be just like us, so that they can infiltrate our organizations. For example, some Jews change their names, some have surgery on their noses, and many of them pretend to be Christians, atheists, or Muslims. When Ike says the reptiles have to drink raw human blood, he may be referring to the blood sacrifices that Jews have been accused of doing for centuries. This is another accusation that people dismiss as nonsense, but watch the video of Vicky Polin, who appeared on the Oprah television show and claimed that her family sometimes had babies specifically to sacrifice them in Jewish rituals. I'll include a link to that video also. Chaucer wrote the Canterbury Tales 800 years ago, and it has a poem about Jews kidnapping a Christian child and killing him for one of their blood sacrifices. People have been complaining about these blood sacrifices for centuries, but almost everybody dismisses the complaints as anti-Semitic nonsense. But we should consider that Vicky Polin is telling the truth when she says her family and other Jews really are engaging in these sacrifices. We ought to wonder how many Jews engage in these sacrifices, and we ought to wonder if Jews are the only people doing these sacrifices. And if Jews are the only people doing it, why is that? How can they be so different from the rest of us? I doubt if anybody has studied this issue, but it's interesting that historians, such as Arthur Koestler, claim that most of the Jews today are related to the Khazars of 1,000 years ago, and most historians describe them as a brutal group of savages. Perhaps some of the Jews in the world today really are a different race of people. Although nobody knows exactly what was going on 1,000 years ago, the Khazars began converting to the Jewish religion around 800 AD. After a few generations, many of these Jewish Khazars assumed that they were the original Jews of Palestine, and they started dreaming of returning to their homeland. You can see this same mistake happening today with the Mexicans. A lot of Mexicans believe that they are the original inhabitants of Southern California, Texas, Arizona, and Mexico. However, the original inhabitants of this land were not Catholic, and they did not speak Spanish. There is no such thing as a Mexican race. The Mexicans are just a mix of Native Americans, Spaniards, Portuguese, and other Europeans. And some of the Mexicans came about when European sailors raped the Native American women. I live in Southern California, so there's lots of Mexicans around me. I met a Mexican woman with white skin, freckles, and red hair, and when I asked why she calls herself Mexican when she looks Irish, she snapped at me with a stupid remark that was something like, "Because my parents moved from Ireland to Mexico for a few years, and I was born while they were in Mexico." If her parents had later moved to China and given birth to a son, and then moved to Africa and had another daughter, this woman would have told me that she has a Chinese brother and an African sister. If space travel was possible, and if her parents had given birth to a son while on Mars, she would tell me that her brother is a Martian. If people are going to describe Mexicans as a race, why not describe every other mixture as a race? There are people in America who are a mix of Chinese and African, and Chinese and Irish, and there are mixes of German and Irish, and Russian and Japanese. Why not describe all these people as races? And why not let all of them have homelands? There are universities in both America and Britain that have courses in what they refer to as Hispanic studies. What is a Hispanic? Most people consider Hispanics to be people in Mexico, Central America, and South America who speak Spanish or Portuguese. But if we're going to treat the interbreeding of Native Americans with Spaniards and Portuguese as a race of people, why not consider the interbreeding of Chinese and Native Americans as a special race? We could call them Chaipanics. And there are Africans who have interbred with some of the Native Americans. We could call them Afropanics. Why not allow universities to create courses on Chaipanic studies and Afropanic studies? And what about a mixture of German and Irish? Why not consider that mixture a new race? Then consider Tiger Woods, who is a mixture of African, Chinese, Native American, Thai, and Dutch. Why not refer to everybody with his particular mixture as a new race of people, and why not have university courses about that particular race? As I mentioned in my Dumbing Down series of articles, schools developed thousands of years ago to help teach arithmetic and language, and it does a very good job of that. But during the past few thousand years, a lot of new courses were added to the schools, and many of them are worthless. Schools are adding useless courses simply to provide jobs for college graduates. For example, the people who get PhDs in philosophy or Hispanic studies or women's studies are putting pressure on the universities to create more silly departments so that they can get jobs at the university. It's possible to create useful courses about philosophy, Hispanics, and even women, but that's not what our schools are doing. Our schools are degrading into welfare institutions for people with college degrees. Our government and our school system is like a sponge that's soaking up the unemployable and mentally ill people. By creating useless jobs, they lower the unemployment rate and create the impression that our economy is doing great. But these worthless people put a burden on the rest of us by increasing taxes and the cost of school. We've got to overhaul both the government and the school system. Our schools today are not providing children with useful skills or a useful education. And worst of all, it ruins the morale of people who do poorly in school, and it encourages arrogance among the people who do good in school. School is primarily a test of a person's ability to memorize information, not their ability to think or face reality. So the people who do good in school are not necessarily intelligent, and they're not necessarily in good mental health. Furthermore, a lot of the information that's taught at school is inaccurate, and some of it is Zionist propaganda. Take a look at how many college graduates believe in the Holocaust and the Apollo moon landing. Those graduates wasted thousands of dollars and many years of their lives to memorize Zionist propaganda. They are suckers. And look at all the people who have educations in Hispanic studies. Some of them have been fooled into thinking that the homeland for Mexicans is Southern California and Mexico. Some of these so-called educated people believe that the Mexicans should take back their homeland in California. It would make more sense for the true natives of America and Mexico to complain that they want their land back from the Mexicans. The same problem is occurring with China. The Chinese are not one group of people. They are slightly different groups with slightly different languages. It doesn't make any sense for one group of Chinese in mainland China to claim that Taiwan belongs to them. This problem is occurring with India also. India is not one group of people. As with China, India consists of slightly different groups of people who have been pushing one another around for a long time. We've got to stop these idiotic fantasies of regaining homelands. There is no group of people who can seriously claim that a portion of the planet belongs to them. People have been moving around the planet for thousands of years. There's no location that belongs to anybody in particular. Millions of Jews believe that Palestine belongs to them because some Jews lived there briefly a couple thousand years ago. But even if we agree that the Jews should have Palestine, who among us is actually a direct descendant of the original Jews of Palestine? The people around the Mediterranean have been interbreeding so much during the past 2,000 years that it's possible that there are no original Jews remaining. Some of the people who refer to themselves as Sephardic Jews may not have any original Jews in their ancestry. Some Sephardic Jews might be Ashkenazi Jews who got their brown skin coloring from some darker race. Nobody's ancestry can be accurately traced back 2,000 years. So anybody who claims to be one of the original Jews is simply making a wild guess. Besides, nobody knows where the original Jews came from. Palestine may not be their original homeland. Their original homeland might be some area of Turkey or Africa. This issue of giving Palestine back to the Jews is nonsense, no matter how you look at it. Furthermore, their attempt to regain their homeland in Palestine has been causing wars and chaos for more than 1,000 years. And today the Jews are trying to trick us into starting a war with Iran. Take a look at what the history books say about the Khazars. Although details of people who lived 1,000 years ago is full of speculation, the Khazars are described as a wild, savage, brutal group of people. We ought to consider the possibility that they really are slightly worse than the rest of us. This would explain why the Khazarian Jews have been involved for centuries with blood sacrifices, drugs, gambling, murder, pornography, prostitution, slavery, kidnapping, torture, deception, pedophilia, rape, and crime. We don't know anything about the original Jews, but for all we know, they were also a group of disgusting savages. We are fools to assume the original Jews were wonderful people. If the stories are correct that the Jews pushed the Romans into killing Jesus, that means the original Jews were behaving just like the Khazarian Jews of today who are pushing us into attacking Iran. It's the same disgusting behavior. How many more thousands of years are we going to put up with these freaks? Did you know that Alex Jones and other people have described the New World Order as being similar to insects that lay eggs on other animals, and when the eggs hatch, the babies eat their hosts? I'll put a link to the excerpt of Alex Jones talking about this. Once you realize that Jones is part of this New World Order, then you realize that he's describing himself and Naomi Wolf, Daryl Smith, Noam Chomsky, Steven Spielberg, and all the other Khazar savages who infiltrate our societies and pretend to be our friends, but who are secretly cheating us, killing us, kidnapping us, and abusing us. We ought to consider the possibility that the reason our ancestors have been complaining about the Khazars for centuries is because they really are disgusting savages. People might say I'm being harsh, but look at their behavior. They are the ones who are cruel and harsh. Listen to Michael Savage as he talks about Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter is a Jew hater through and through. Jimmy Carter is who caused worldwide Islamic terrorism to profligate, to proliferate around the globe. Jimmy Carter undermined the Shah of Iran. Jimmy Carter encouraged Khomeini to come back from exile in Paris. As a result, Khomeini spread his Islamic poison around the globe. Jimmy Carter is a war criminal. Now Jimmy Carter comes out, writes a letter today, and says that Israel, by giving back 93% of the West Bank, is being evil. It's the Jews again tricking the Palestinians. Jimmy Carter is like Hitler with a double talk on top of it all. I can't take this crap anymore. Why is he even taken seriously? Why don't the Jews get up and spit in his face?
If any of us were to talk about Jews in the manner in which they talk about us, we would be condemned. So why do we allow them to treat us in this awful manner? If Michael Savage can talk about Islamic poison, why can't we talk about Jewish poison or Khazar poison? If Michael Savage can suggest that Jews spit in Jimmy Carter's face, why can't we suggest that people spit in the face of Michael Savage or Shimon Peres or Mike Wallace? We've got to stand up to them. Don't let them intimidate you. It is them who are behaving in a disgusting manner, and for centuries. It's a pattern with them. And the Zionist crime network seems to be attracting the worst of them. My advice is to wonder what are they doing with Christopher Bolin, and listen to Daryl Smith's phone call to me and ask yourself, what kind of people are these? Be careful about trusting people, especially if they promote Israel or Zionism. We're dealing with some extremely violent, selfish, and psychotic freaks. Don't be intimidated when they complain that your suspicion is hurting their feelings or that you're insulting to them. We will protect ourselves by being suspicious of everybody and investigating everybody. Well, that's my talk for today. Until the next time, bye.